Hey, I'm Brian Hyatt, and this is Rolling Stone Music Now. Last week we did the best albums of 2017. This week we're going to do best songs of 2017, and there is a 50-song list that Rolling Stone did. The full 50 is on the website now. And to talk about it, we have Rob Sheffield, Chris Weingarten, Sarah Grant, and John Dolan. Hello, all.
Hey.
We are rolling deep today. And I figured that we'd start actually with number one. As Rob just said, eat dessert first. It's the way to go. And I do what Rob says usually. So,
And there is no dessert like Harry Styles.
Harry Styles, Sign of the Times. I feel like I've talked about this song 1,000 times on the show. Maybe Rob, just something real quick about why this makes sense as number one.
Well, it's a beautiful song, Brian. It's a awful beautiful song. Really different from what he'd done before, and a song that was really sort of epic and ambitious in a way that one might describe, if one were into esque as a suffix, a little bit Bowie-esque, a little bit maybe even U2-esque, but very resonant.
Number two, Lord. Homemade.
Wait, we're done with Harry Styles already?
We are done. We have 50 songs, Rob Sheffield.
I said eat dessert first. I didn't say, like, lick it and then throw it on the floor.
I'm considering
this isn't even one of the five best songs on the Harry Styles album. That album is just an embarrassment of of desserts. It's a dessert tray.
So you're saying it shouldn't be number one. Some other Harry Styles song should be number one.
I'm saying all Harry Styles songs should be number one.
Wow. It's a tie.
Kiwi, that's a jam. Kiwi is, in fact, the best song of 1995. Sweet Creature is the best song of 1973. Okay, I'm getting to dine with Harry Styles now.
And
you want to make sure he's number one. We want to give him respect.
Harry Styles, because Harry has a hard life and he needs all the support he can get.
And so, I'm the only one talking about Harry Styles right now?
No, but we've talked a lot about Harry Styles.
Mel Brooks, I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
We unleashed a lion, as Eddie Vedder once said. wow. So you mentioned Kiwi, which is a perfect segue to Lord, right? That's a New Zealander, right? Yes.
Oh, wow.
So nice. Lord is a New Zealander who has a song, Homemade Dynamite, that is at number two. And maybe we can actually hear that song.
A couple rebel top gun pilots flying with nowhere to be. Don't know you super well, but I think that you might be the same as me.
I like the idea that Lord and Taylor were like at bars maybe across the street from each other, having the encounters that form these songs, and then each writing songs about the encounters with Jack Antonoff. But Sarah, what do you like about this song?
I'm always blown away by how Lord starts a song. Huh. I think that you can hear that influence on Taylor's record.
I agree totally.
And I didn't even really, you know, she has such a stark voice that, you know, Taylor and Selena and a lot of the other pop young acts have emulated this year. But I didn't even realize that the Top Gun reference was there until I actually read her lyrics. And she has such a seamless way of weaving in all of these obscure and unlikely references and making them all so grounded in her very personal experiences. I mean, there's so many songs about house parties, but the one when Lord sings about them, you feel like you need to listen to the album alone, close the door, find some empty room.
It's a good example of the sort of novelistic detail she can go for. The idea of she's giving the guy she's talking to her best side. You know, which is not something I've ever heard anyone refer to in a song. I love that. Number three, sorry for anyone who's feeling we're going too fast, Rob, but we got 50 songs,
this
dude.
That's a great Lord song.
It is. If we have time at the end, we'll return to it. I'm like the kindergarten teacher. Kendrick Lamar's Humble, and I think the interesting thing about Kendrick is we couldn't figure out even which Kendrick song to put this high because I think we're all such big fans of basically the entire album. So what was, John, how do we end up with Humble? I mean, obviously it's the single, so you can't go wrong.
Yeah, I think that it was a huge hit and that it sort of jumps out at you with just a little more intensity than, I mean, they all do, and it is kind of the whole album is almost like all hits, and it's almost designed that way. But I just felt like because it was a moment that everyone kind of got around, and because it was such a hit, and because of it's just kind of how visceral his rapping is, it's just such a striking thing to listen to.
And the thing I, you know, love about this record, and I wrote about it in the review, is that like it really is like a circa 1995 ideal of what rap should be. Hard beats and hard rhymes and wordplay and tricky stuff. And he really embraced that. And this song bangs in the same way that, you know, a lot of rap in the 90s banged in a year where people were not into bangers per se.
Well, the fact that it's Mike Will who is so of the moment and it comes from the trap world is it maybe makes it a synthesis of 95 and 2017, which lands you about 2002 if you could,
sure.
Yeah, no, but no, it's that's a good point, and maybe that's probably why I like it so much. Cardi B, Bodak Yellow. You know what? It's a great song. Rob, are you a fan? We've never discussed Cardi B.
Oh my God! Yes, I love her. She's kind of the Jarvis Cocker of hip hop. She's like someone who like comes out fully formed as an adult, you know? And because like only the underground knew about her before, so it's somebody who like comes upon with this like massive international stage and already knows so well how to be a star, how to tell a story, how to absolutely do everything right, and in a way that makes, you know, people say, where did this person come from? How are they so perfectly poised as a pop star?
I could see wanting to say something, Sarah.
No, I mean, there's so many things, so many great lines in this song, too. What is that line about, are you the worker bee or the worker or something? Like, I can't even recall
it.
But it's yes.
Yeah. Cardi B.
I mean, it was like everyone around the world asked themselves that question.
Yeah. Cardi B greasing the gears of the machine with the blood of the bourgeoisie.
Yes.
I think I might be insane because sometimes I can't help hearing Bob Dylan going, be like, I don't dance now, I make money moves.
Yeah,
I don't
totally.
Know why.
It's
I don't know
very
why.
Dylan-esque, I have to say.
It is very
also,
Dylan-esque.
Is this the first hit song to mock people who paid to get in to the club? The idea of like her like standing on stage and saying, you people paid to get in here. I get paid a fee.
We clearly have a lot to say about Cardi B. You two, Lights of Home, which is... it's a cool song. I will just point out before we move on that it does something with a riff from Haim's song. The main riff is from My Song 5 by Haim. And it is a great riff. And, you know, it's like, I guess they just found it where they wanted it. They do credit Haim for the song. So, you know, there you go. Why don't we hear The Lights of Home before we move on? Because we didn't need to hear Bodak Yellow. Because if you were breathing this year, you heard Bodak Yellow. But you might not have heard Lights of Home yet.
I want to hear Bono do Bodak Yellow. This is not a rebel song. This is a song about my bloody shoes.
I shouldn't be here because I should be dead. I can see the lights in front of me. I believe my best days are ahead. I can see the lights in front of me.
So let's go to Migos, Bad and Bougie, which we've also talked a lot about. But, I mean, pretty irresistible. Do you love this song, Rob? Are you a fan?
Yeah, I love this one.
What do you love about it?
It's very thematic, very southern sounding in a sort of like unfiltered kind of way.
Chris, you've made the case for Migos as lyricists, which isn't necessarily how people praise them.
But no, it's true. And because they are such stylists in a unique way, taking that, you know, the triplet flow from 90s southern rap and turning that into a total aesthetic. And so they get a lot of attention for the kind of 3-on-4 polyrhythm that they've built a career on. But, you know, if you break down the lyrics, it's just like intense assonance. They're ridiculous rhymers in that sense.
Number 7 is Despacito, which we've also heard a fair amount of this year. It's an interesting thing. I mean, there would be a time when something so ubiquitous wouldn't necessarily find its way onto a critical list at number 7 in Rolling Stone, but it's there. So why is it there, guys? You or somebody?
I just the pure sort of just catchiness of it. And it's nice to get behind and be excited about. It's the biggest single ever by a Puerto Rican artist in the history of the Billboard charts. And
I think it's the most streamed single of all time.
Yeah, and like, it's, you know, it's nice to have a song like that everyone kind of agrees is great and is on throughout the summer and is kind of opening up people to different kinds of cultures, reggaeton and stuff. And as I think, like when I listen to it now, like for this, I was like, now it's like considering what went on this year with Puerto Rico and almost like the sort of political side of it, it's a sad song. Like that little guitar part now sounds kind of wistful and sort of sad and poignant, whereas it used to be just kind of this really fun, catchy song that was kind of inescapable in a good way.
And then another inescapable song, which almost doesn't feel like a real song at this point, it's Portugal the Man's Feel It Still. And it's an interesting thing. It's like an indie band who found this groove and made this huge hit. This might be a song that you know but don't know what it's called, so let's hear it for a second. You know that song. That one. Yeah. Chris is giving a thumbs down right now. He's not feeling this song.
It does, to me, sounds like a lot of the kind of cosmopolitan post-everything songs that people like CeeLo Green and Lloyd and whatnot were doing in, you know, 10 years ago. So I'm not super into the rock dude version of that. But sure.
I mean, I think on the other way, it kind of blurs the line between pop and rock today. And that's, I think, why the song is done so well. I mean, it's almost like a catchier version of, and by catchier, I mean quicker paced version of Selena Gomez's Hands to Myself, which yeah. is the first line of this song.
It's weird how our mainstream rock right now is so in a retro vein.
I will say that if you went back in time to 1986 and told people that someday people would aspire to kick it like it's 1986, not one soul would believe you. Absolutely nobody in 1986 wanted to kick it like it was 1986. The idea that would be on a wish list somehow is just mind-blowing to
me. What would Frankie even say?
It cracks me up. Let's kick it like it's 1986. That's really easy to do.
Lana Del Rey featuring The Weeknd, Lust for Life. And I already kind of dissed the Lana album last week, so I will bow out.
The Lana album is so great. I'm so glad that this song is on the list. Although, like Styles, there's so many other songs that could have been on here.
Well, let's hear this song for a sec.
For you, how does the Lana album sort of fit into the sort of overall Lana-ology?
Lana-ology. Well, the thing I love about what she says about it is that she's sort of indulging us in having in Lana-ology, a very straight ahead and optimistic record. And she's such a unique lyricist. And, you know, I love that she imagines The Weeknd and the Shangri-Las in this song. And then she pivots to this chorus that's like the silky gallop between the two of them. It's so, I mean, it's the subtle turns on this very simple song are very beautiful.
Yeah, Cheery Lana freaks me out a little bit. Maybe that's part of the problem. It's just, there's something like a little bit like pod person about it. But so Future's Mask Off, which is, to me, you can either evolve as an artist or you can sort of distill yourself down where you're like the most pure version of yourself. And that, in some ways, that feels like what Future's doing on this song.
You know? What do I have to do to get you people to notice that I take drugs? Fine. Okay. I'll make this real easy for you.
Yeah. Let's hear that one. Exactly. It's like, it just boils it down to Percocets, Molly, Percocets.
Yo, Percocet, yeah. Molly, Percocets. Percocet, yeah. Miley Percocets, Percocet. Rep the set, yeah. Gotta rep the set, gang, gang. Chase a chick, chase. Never chase a bitch,
don't chase no bitch.
Mask on, fuck it, mask on, mask on,
yeah.
Fuck it, mask on.
I love Future.
Finally, the mask is off. And
So where did Tove Sterk with Say My Name, where do we find this?
I just heard about it and really, really liked it. And I just kept arguing for this song to be in here. She's not a known artist. She was on, like, Swedish Idol is her, you know. This song was a number 85 hit in Sweden. That's she's the highest it got.
She's not even but the best-known Tove.
No, she's
America.
Not. She's, like, the Battle of the Toves. She's number four. And
lesser
two
Tove.
Other, yeah, like, the lesser Tove. But it's just an extremely cool beat and an extremely her singing is great, and she says I want to wear you like you wear me out like a sweater that you like. It's like a Yola Tango lyric or something, and I just really find it. I just can't. I love this song. I kept saying no. It's got, they kept being like, push it down a little bit. Nope, number 11. It's number 11 this year. I really like this song.
Let's hear the John Dolan special pick, Say My Name.
You say you ain't the one to jump in our relation, and I don't mind, but when we touch it's elevation. Up, 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 up.
Yeah, I have to say, yeah, I hadn't heard it until it showed up on the list, and I it's really good.
Yeah, same.
Good
yeah.
pick, John.
Me too.
It's
thank you.
Great synth sound, like great little like
well, that little
video
like,
game.
I think the thing about if you look at this list, one of the things that really comes through, I think, is just the sense of kind of all these songs having a lot of like rhythmic freedom, like what drum sounds they can use, whether they can be fast or slow, whether they can reference things that might not sound like, you know, some of these songs have like an island kind of element to it. This one doesn't necessarily, though. The little guitar line almost kind of sounds West African or West kind of West African bluesy kind of. It just seems like there's, because there's no real radio or record company demanding pop things be like anything, the difference between these, you know, different kinds of styles has just collapsed, and so you can pretty much be anything. And this is a song, it's not popular, but it's as catchy as the really popular songs on here. And the songs that are really popular can be that sort of lordification of music, where you have to be ambitious and you have to be challenging yourself and you have to be saying something. And Jack Antonoff kind of helping in that as well, like letting these people being who they want to be, and, you know, making them more kind of more pop, I guess, but also being like pop on their terms. And I feel like the artists can really demand their terms throughout in sort of what would be top 40 music. I mean, Bad Liar is a good example of that, the next song on the list.
Yeah, and I want to get to that after the break. It's a perfect example. And Say My Name, which we just heard, you know, it fits in with John's love of Passion Fruit by Drake. It's sort of, I'm sensing sort of a John Dolan genre.
I like Dolan-core. Yacht Drake. Yes. I just really like laid-back Drake. People like Drake when he yells. I know, Brian, you're a yelling Drake fan, and that's great. I love yelling Drake. But this record, just when it came out in the spring, I was like, I want to drink gin and tonics. I just love this record. It's so good.
Island vibes are Dolan Court.
Yeah, I like.
So you're listening to Rolling Stone Music Now. We're going over the year's top 50 songs, and we'll be right back with a lot more.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories, and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
We are on number 12, Selena Gomez's Bad Liar. And John was just making a point that I was thinking about, which is the crazy breakdown of genres that continues to happen. And here we have, I think in the abstract, people think of Selena Gomez as the ultimate kind of like former Disney star making generic pop and in sort of, if people who don't know her well. And yet here we have a song that could easily be by a really cool indie act. I mean, honestly, maybe not.
And once was.
And once was. and in part because the bass line is literally from a Talking Heads song. But yes. What's here? Selena Gomez's Bad Liar, so you know what I'm talking about in case you don't remember.
I was walking down the street the other day, trying to distract myself, but then I see your face. Oh wait, that's someone else. Trying to play a coy, trying to make it disappear, but just like the Battle of Troy, there's nothing.
I mean, the understated vocal.
I do get a little worried it's going to turn into Tom's Diner. I'm glad
we got in the Iliad reference too.
Got to get that in there.
I would donate a kidney to this song. This is my favorite. This is my favorite song on this list, and it's my favorite song of the year.
This Talking Heads thing is such an eye-catching thing, first of all, but the vocals, her singing on this is crazy as it goes on. Like, she does so many different things vocally.
Yes.
As the song continues, you're like, that's pretty amazing.
She's taken off from the sort of whispery style that mm-hmm. she perfected on Revival, where just her timing is just... Just were really like delicate shifts of tone in terms of the whisper, and then when she explodes for the loud part, you know it's coming, but it's still absolutely effective.
Well, there's also a really great act on Merge right now called Sneaks, who kind of owes to the minimalist Young Marble Giants aesthetic in the same way that this does. So it's like, you know, really kind of capturing something that is sort of happening in the underground on a very, very large scale.
That's what's crazy, that there can be any commonality between any act on Merge and Selena Gomez. Just says it, really says it all, makes the point. So number 14 is LCD Sound System, Call the Police. And it's, besides maybe Harry Styles' song, it's the first song that speaks directly to the moment. And it's just this kind of burning paranoia about what's going on in the world. Let's hear that for a second.
We are, we are, we are.
Does anyone have anything to say about that one?
Just love it. I mean, yeah. he's always had, like, I think Rob, you once wrote about his kind of like the sad drunk Irish guy, like, you know, like wistfully nostalgia. And it's always kind of been about him, and maybe he's getting this kind of his social group and his friends and just whatever, and kind of feeling like what's happening to my life? It's changing. And now it's just universalized. And it's funny. The song is a lot like All I Want from their last record, which is one of the best songs of the last forever, the 10 years or whatever. And it's just now that kind of yearning thing has turned in on itself into this kind of darkness, and it's just very affecting.
And number 16 is Julia Michaels, and again, crazy breakdown in categories. I mean, this is she's a top 40 songwriter who actually wrote wrote the Selena Gomez song that was a number 12, and here she made a song that's like kind of like a Weezer song or something. We should hear that.
Lipstick makes its way right into your kissing. It's pathetic how we both get kind of fucked up hanging on each other. We're ahead now. Should we slow down? Should we slow down?
So yeah, total rock vibes.
The way that people are still coming up with permutations on Britney Spears in this day and age is kind of incredible. That's like an alt-rock song, you know, from the 90s, but it sounds like teen pop from the 90s. It's crazy.
And then number 17, Lil Uzi Vert, XO Tour Life. And man, not to be a broken record about collapsed categories, but this is
that's really alt rock.
Yeah, a song that
it sounds exactly like a Hold Steady song.
Yeah.
I never went there before.
All my friends are dead. Like, yeah.
No, or a Linkin Park chorus. You know, that
or
could,
like
that,
yeah,
that
like some Seattle grunge. Like, you know, so yeah. like you know, paint huffing kind of deal. It's really dark.
But yeah, let's hear that.
She said, "Baby, I am not afraid to die. Push me to the edge, all my friends are dead. Push me to the edge, all my friends are dead. Push me to the edge, all my friends are dead."
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, technically hip-hop, but I mean, this emo rap is what everyone's kind of saying, but there's a lot going on there. It's actually hard to wrap your head around what genre that really is, because there's so many things coming in. But he listens, obviously, to a lot of old alt rock, and he's a Nirvana fan. All that is, I guess, coming in.
And the track is kind of like, it's got a dance hall. The island thing's in there too. It's so bizarre. It's weird that that's like, oh, sure, this will be a hit. No problem. It's like, I mean, it's a huge hit.
Yeah, that's why there's just so much going on. Number 19 is Diet Sig 16, and it has definitely one of the funniest beginnings of any song on the list, if we can hear that.
When I was 16, I dated a boy with my own name. It was weird. In the back of his truck, moaning my own name while trying to find.
So how did this end up at number 19? Who was pushing for it?
I feel like it was agreed upon as one of the great indie rock songs of the year, and just an example of another band going back to the 90s. What would be the references there? You know, like K Records, kind of cuddlecore music, and just rocking it out and sticking like a novel of experience into this little beginning, and then it starts to rock.
But her delivery is also so different from bands like that.
Yeah, that's
I
true.
Mean, it's so earnest, and it's which makes it so unique, and why it should be on this list this year.
Well, that's a good point. It really does tie into all this kind of like, it's not that different than Lorde or whatever. It's a good point.
Number 20 is this artist Taylor Swift. We did an entire show about this album, but call it what you want. Do you agree that that is the best song and should be the highest on the list of Taylor songs?
Yes, I love it. Although there are so many great songs on that album that honestly, I believe me, that's the kind of album where my favorite song shifts from day to day. But call it what you want of these singles that came out before the album. This is the one that really sort of sums up what the album is about and where the album is coming from. Some of the singles were more sort of, you know, fake hints. And this is a song that really sums up the sort of the emotional musical substructure of the album.
It's the song that comes closest to what it feels like to actually talk to Taylor. It feels like she's like literally talking to us. It's somehow her speaking voice is coming out in the understated way she's singing it. But number 21 is Arcade Fire, Everything Now. And this is an example of a song that, in my opinion, I don't know what everyone else thinks, is great on an album that is
yeah.
that is very far from great. And it's the title track. And it's very confusing, actually. And it's also very ABBA. Let's hear it. Do you see it the same way I do? That great song, bad album?
Not a fan.
Of any of it? No. Were you previously an Arcade Fire fan?
Yes, I've liked songs of theirs.
That is a not exactly a yes. Fair enough. So you have nothing to be disillusioned about.
This is not
about.
Dessert. The look on Rob's face was not a dessert face when he was commenting.
We're feeding Rob's arcade spinach right now. That's, yeah. All right, fair enough.
Can we hear a little Uzi Vert again?
So Spoon's Hot Thoughts is at number 22. And I really love this song. Yeah. I think they actually had hope. There's definitely a world in which they actually had a hit with this song, and I think that was kind of the hope.
Spoon keep doing that. Their last couple albums have always had the couple songs where it's like in another world of alternative radio where that stuff existed, this would be their thing. But it's like Spoon get penalized too for being good every time. It's like they're just the same kind of good the whole
exactly
way through.
Exactly right. Yep. Yes. Yeah.
And this song is awesome. They're doing
There's
so many
whole,
cool things.
We should
this
do
song.
A whole show on bands like that. Like the OCs is another one. Big Crit is another one. Like just these artists that are like continuously excellent, so there's no narrative.
Right, you're so boring by being so great all the time, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear Spoon's Hot Thoughts.
Do we think the title's a play on words? Like the THOTS sense of the word thoughts?
He might be too old for that. Britt doesn't strike me as a thought kind of guy, but I could be wrong.
And what's frustrating about them too is their music keeps like that's got the Peter Piper kind of thing to it. Like when they start off, they sound like Wire, and they keep adding music and adding music and adding the Stones and adding. It's just they continue to get better and better in a way that no one seems to. I don't know, care that much about.
And then the attention to sonic detail and arrangement deal, it must on some level be a slightly maddening to make such perfect songs and they don't get more attention in 2017.
A consistent thing through his songwriting is that he doesn't pretend to a kind of emotional Sturmendrang. He doesn't fake that. At points, like during that band's like extraordinarily long, like 20-year career at this point, like where it would have been very much to his advantage to fake some sort of angst. And something that I consistently love about Spoon Records is that's a lie he doesn't like really work into his music.
Well, you know, they love krautrock clearly, so it's like, you know, that flat emotional plane carries.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
There's a very cool thing at the end of that song, if you're listening on good headphones, where there's a three-dimensional effect of a car pulling away, and it actually jumps about 5 feet away from the right side of your head. So check that out if you finish it. speaking of, it's incredible. No, really, it's speaking of attention to detail, like that's how. And by the way, that is also a krautrock thing. There were a lot of guys who were really into binaural recording in the krautrock scene. So anyway, totally right. Number 23, Charlie XCX, Boys. Let's hear that actually.
I was busy thinking about boys, boys, boys. I was busy dreaming about boys, boys, boys.
Chris was playing air chime on
No,
that.
I was I was actually doing air Mario hitting the brick.
Oh, okay. That is what that is. Yes.
Yeah, no, you know, I love this is partially co-produced by Sophie. So, you know,
explain who Sophie is.
Sophie is part of this loose amalgam of artists who are involved with something called PC Music, and they're very informed by, you know, the Uncanny Valley and internet culture, and, you know, it's kind of a future nostalgia type of thing. And, you know, the fact that is invading pop music is really, really cool. And this is probably one of the biggest platforms for that. And, you know, whether or not this is going to be the future of pop, it has yet to be seen, but it's definitely a cutting edge in that field.
Well, PC Music, we're making sort of pop in quotes.
Yeah, real in quotes.
And now, for that to become actual pop music is always cool. So let's skip to number.
No, we got to talk about Wild Thoughts.
Okay, talk. Good.
Wild Thoughts. I am in love with the cross-cultural, cross-time, cross-pop I say in the blurb, it's an undeniable pop moment transcending region, genre, time, and taste. And you have a Palestinian-American producer, Party Next Door, who's, you know, Caribbean-Canadian, and it all samples a collaboration between Wyclef, who was from Haiti, and Mexican-American Carlos Santana from the 90s, and then Rihanna's there from the Barbados trying on her kind of 90s New York rapper stuff, and Bryson Tiller is like the new Southern trap and B stuff, and it's just like, it's everything all in this mush that's like, it's like five decades of pop culture and all around the globe all crammed into this just totally undeniable song.
The great thing about everything Khaled does is that he has this amazing ability to bring out, to play to everyone's strengths. And the decision to even have someone like Bryson Tiller on a song like this, yeah, with two like juggernauts, and he's at his best arguably in this track right here, and like it's such a different light. And also you've got Rihanna, yeah, sounding like she hasn't sounded in 10 years.
She's got like rap swagger on this, and she's got like rap swagger on the new Nerd track. I love this direction for her. It's awesome.
It's
she goes in.
Song.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I wanna be a baby, baby, baby. Spinning in his wedges like he came from Maytag. Rocket with it on the brown. When I get like this, I can't be around you.
We do want to talk about number 25, Super Organism, something for your mind, but it's M period I period N period D, just so you know, D period, excuse me. So let's hear that one, and then I think Chris Weingarten is very excited to talk about it.
I know you think I'm a psychopath, Democrat lurking in the drawer. This sucks, I'm the Kmart, so jerk, so dear.
I do like how it sounds more like Beck than the Beck song we have on the list.
Oh, it's like, you know, if the Moldy Peaches had been on a Beck record before Beck, before they existed or something.
You know, it takes me right back to that weirdo kitchen sink pop era of the 90s of like Brand Van 3000 and Cornelius and the Eels, like the early Eels stuff, you know, where it was like, oh, like we all grew up listening to rap music and dance music and rock music. How can we all mush this into one weird stew? And also in the chorus, there's this like incredible silence in the song, like a harsh digital silence, which is very disorienting. And
yeah, every time it comes up, you're like, oh, that's what's wrong with my thing or whatever. But it's not. It's just the way it is.
So number 26, T Grizzly, First Day Out. And it was literally recorded, as a Detroit rapper, literally recorded on his first day out from prison. So it reflects a lot of those feelings. And let's hear that. Otherwise, Chris is going to have to start rapping it.
Yeah, no. The segment I wanted to play has this bar of 2-4 in it, which is just this proggy tweak that blows my mind every single time. The only other song that I can even point, the only other rap song I can point to is MC Easy and DJ Troops' Get Retarded from 1988, that this is such a rare thing in rap music. But beyond that, like, his story is amazing. His rhymes are full of joy and pain and skills, and he's unbelievable talent.
Yard, nigga. Ain't it a blessing? We made it out of Lansing after all that happened.
That bitch, nigga.
After Michigan State, after Hubbard, when our mans told on us, them bands they took from us. Joy Road, bitch, but the money long is 6 mile, brick mile. Knock your ass down, pick her up, knock her back down, pull her tracks out. Yes, I slap girl. Yes, I slap dog. Yes, I slap loud. Yes,
Chris knocked off his headphones, banging his head so hard to that. Number 30 is Jidenna's Bambi, and that's one of my favorite songs of the year. It's funny, I said, when I first encountered it, I said to an editor, Rolling Stone, that this will either be a number one hit or will completely tank. And unfortunately, it completely tanked. But I think it's a really awesome combination of very up-to-the-moment drum stuff, trap drums, with melodies and harmonies that go back to doo-wop. Mm-hmm. And Jidenna is a really interesting artist. Let's hear that.
Oh, Bambi, I won't lie. If I weren't in this spider web of mine.
Since we're comparing everything to the 90s, like, remember loungecore? Those Esquivel reissues.
No, come on. Don't make me hate
this
it.
This is the best combustible Edison.
Edison, I was going to say that. We're going to have a battle to see who can be the first to say combustible Edison.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
That's where that Nirvana money went into Sub Pop, was combustible Edison.
Well, you know, there's certain things that like I only read about in Spin and Rob Sheffield columns in the 90s and still haven't actually heard, and I think that might be one. So I'll just continue hearing it out of his lips. Number 31, speaking of Rob Sheffield, is Craig Finn, God in Chicago. And it is, you know, Craig, obviously the frontman of the Hold Steady, incredible lyricist, and takes an even bigger step forward here. Let's hear that, and I'd love to hear Rob talk about it after we hear it.
We didn't speak at the service, but then later a message from a number that wasn't familiar said, "Hey, it's Charlie's sister. Would you do me a favor?"
It's a beautiful song that business. The story goes on. It does not get happier. It's a very Springsteen circa Darkness on the Edge of Town or at the River, that sort of storytelling that he's doing in a rock and roll context.
It's like if the beginning of Candy's Room was the whole song.
Yeah, absolutely. His whole album, We All Want the Same Things, it's great. This song is just kind of an epic. He recorded it the day that Prince died, so there's a part where they're listening in the car when they're going to do this drug deal, when they listen to the cassette of 1999. He just added that because that news had just come over that day.
On a boombox in the back seat of the car. Like, that's a great detail. Like, this car stereo doesn't work. They have a boombox in the back to listen to the Prince and Led Zeppelin on. It's just every detail, every line has a detail that's just uncanny. And even for him, he's been one of the best for a long time, but it's really, really powerful.
Number 36 is DVSN, Mood. And it's really great kind of bit of bedroom R&B from a sort of Drake affiliate. And we should definitely hear that if we can.
You don't wanna fall back. I don't wanna fall back tonight. I just want my
open. You know, this really is like another back to 96 kind of bump and grind, you know, Silks Freak Me jam.
This is so 1992.
Yeah. Like,
I love this.
What if R. Kelly never left Public Announcement?
So, number 44, we have Carly Rae Jepsen at number 44 with Cut to the Feeling. And Carly Rae is, for some people who live in Brooklyn and elsewhere, sort of an actual goddess. I'm not sure anyone we have here worships her to that extent. And for me, as a Carly Rae doubter, I was converted by this song. I love this song. And maybe I'm joining the cult. Let's hear it.
I had a dream, or was it real? We crossed the line, and it was on. We crossed the line, it was on this line. I've been denying how I feel.
And at number 49, we have Haim, Want You Back. And, you know, again, like the second time Haim are appearing on this list, because they had that riff in the U2 song. Haim's album didn't connect with the world maybe as much as they wanted, and maybe it was a little bit of a disappointment overall, but this song's awesome, and let's hear it.
Some things are long forgotten, some things were never said. We were on one endless.
So the final song on the list is at number 50 is 21 Savage's Bank Account. And not a lot of time to say a lot about it. Can someone say 5 seconds worth of something about Bank Account?
We were just noting before in the break that if he even says in the song, it's so intense that if you tweet about him, he'll kill you.
Right.
Which is,
and Chris said
tough.
He was going to make that his Twitter bio.
Not
which
even
is
mentions could be anything. You just watch out.
So this has been Rolling Stone Music Now. We were talking about the top 50 songs of 2017, and you can see the full list on RollingStone.com. We'll be back next week at 1 p.m. here on Sirius XM's Volume, Channel 106. And in the meantime, you should go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to us as a podcast, download previous episodes as podcasts, and maybe leave us some nice reviews. And don't complain about how we can't play music more than 12 seconds or whatever, because that's just the law, man. We can't help it. It's just, you know, if you want to hear music, you can go to your favorite streaming service and find it. But have a great week, and we will be back next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker, although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord! We get it! They have chemistry!
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.